All right. Well, again, like I said, the major point of tonight is having the proper perspective is everything. And I got a couple of proverbs for you. The first one is, it's a Philippine proverb that says, there is no burnt rice to a hungry person. And the second one is somebody once said, I had the blues because I had no shoes until upon the street I met a man who had no feet. And so having the proper perspective is essential, especially when it comes to God's will. Now, I got this study 20 years ago. I was listening to my pastor, and of course, I do what I do when I'm in church, is I chase rabbit trails. And when the Lord showed me this study, we're going to be in Acts 16, so you can start turning there. When the Lord showed me this study, it's like the page lit up, and I just was amazed at what God was showing me, and the pastor was going someplace else. So tonight, stay with me as I go through this study. I think it's pretty powerful, and it's one that needs to be heard, especially after some of the information we saw last Sunday through Sammy's presentation about the way the world's going to Islam. And eventually, you know, we're going to come under persecution as the church here in the United States. So having the proper perspective when those times come is going to be essential. So we listen to those proverbs, and like I said, we have to have the right perspective. So let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now just a quick review. Again, Luke is the writer here, and he's with Paul and Silas, and Timothy's on board with this gang as they travel. It's Paul's second missionary journey. And as it said earlier, that they had tried to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit said no. And sometimes the Lord makes it clear that it's no. And we're not sure exactly how that message was conveyed to Paul, but we can sure that he understood it clearly. Paul has a vision, beckoning him to Macedonia, and again, they concluded that the Lord had called him to Macedonia. So they arrive in Philippi, which was a Roman colony. We're going to pick it back up here in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. We're going to skip a few verses here. And now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or to observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, notice that they were Satan's awesome. He just makes sure that this can be the most the worst situation, and he keeps them securely, and they're put in the inner prison, probably the darkest, smelliest part of the whole place. Their feet are fastened with stocks, and they're basically, you know, immobilized, period. And it seems like that God's work is being stopped. Now the Holy Spirit, again, let's get this back into perspective here. The Holy Spirit forbade them to go to Asia. Paul sees that vision and he believes that the Lord has called them there. They exorcise a demon out of a girl, which is a good and right thing to do. And the next thing, they're stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. It seems like it's a hopeless situation. And not only in prison, but the deepest, darkest part. Their feet are in stocks, and no doubt those stocks were performing better than my stocks are right now in the stock market. But anyway. Now, you know, what would be going on in your mind? What, you know, I mean, here it is in one place. The Holy Spirit is clear and says no. And the next thing, let's go to Macedonia. Let's go this way. It's clear. They concluded that they were in the Spirit, or they were according in God's will. And the next thing, they find themselves in prison in this situation. You know, what would be going on in your mind if, you know, this happened to you, if you were to wear his shoes for a moment? And the first point is this, and I'm going to beat this point to death tonight, is we must realize that God will steer us into a storm. And remember that Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, remember when he sent the disciples out? He sent the 70 out, and they went out, and they exorcised demons, and they did all kinds of great things, and there was miracles, and they came back with joy. Sometimes ministry is like that. It is fun. It's exciting, and it's a great time. But also, ministry can be a very scary thing. And if you remember, in Matthew 8 and 14, Jesus sent the disciples right into storms. And the main thing there is, you know, we learned a lesson as Peter in that second storm, he had to keep his eyes on Jesus in order to stay on top of the water. And that's the same principle that we know, and we have to keep focused on Jesus through the eye of the storm. Now, there's some reasons for God sending us into the storm, and sometimes that's to judge sin in our life. And tonight we're not going to be talking about this because, you know, at no point do we see Paul and Silas and them in any kind of sin whatsoever. And so we know this situation that Paul and Silas got into was according to God's will. Sometimes we go through these situations because our faith needs to be tested by fire. And they certainly, after this situation, their faith grew tremendously. I don't know about Paul, but I'm sure Silas's faith increased. Paul is such an incredible faithful. He had such great faith that I can't imagine it growing any bit, but I'm sure it did even in this situation. At other times, though, we are sent into these bad and these tough situations just simply to be a witness for Jesus Christ, His power and His love and His glory. If God always told us His will in detail, we probably wouldn't do it. You know, I mean, think about Jonah. I mean, that's a perfect example. You know, go to Assyria and preach. And Jonah goes the other direction because he knows the outcome. He knows what God's going to do in their life. Well, think about this situation. And imagine a conversation between God and Paul. If this, and I doubt very much that this conversation went this way, but just imagine a conversation. God says, okay, Paul, I want you to go to Macedonia. And Paul says, cool, Lord, I'm ready to go. And then what? He says, you're going to go to witness to a bunch of prisoners and then lead a prison official and his whole family to salvation. Paul says, awesome, Lord, sounds great. Let's do it. And Paul, you're going to be stripped, naked, beaten, locked up in the deepest, darkest part of the prison. And Paul says, whoa, wait a second. Wait a minute. I can't do that. That's a little scary. It's embarrassing, painful, stinky, and very confining and uncomfortable. And sometimes that's the way the ministry is. Sometimes God, it's not always fun and games. It's not always, you know, filled with joy and, you know, just the excitement of seeing people come to Christ. Sometimes it's a painful, dark, smelly situation that God puts you in. And He puts you in that situation for a reason. Which brings us back to the first point. We must realize, or we must have the proper perspective. And perspective is everything. Sometimes there's no other way to accomplish what God needs to accomplish other than through suffering and pain. So if there's no other way, we must get it right in our minds. And I've got some questions here. You know, how do we do that? How do we get our mind right when it comes to this sort of ministry where it's tough and it's hard and it's scary and it's smelly and uncomfortable? You know, what do we do to get our minds right? How was Paul able to endure this situation? How are we able to endure a situation like this? Well, again, Paul had the proper perspective. If you look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and we'll have it up here on the board, Paul writes, well, I think it's Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls." And you need to realize that Jesus looked beyond when, you know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The only way he could endure the cross is to look at what was beyond that, what that pain and suffering was going to achieve and accomplish. And it was our salvation. And that's what he stayed focused on. And so when we get into these situations where it's uncomfortable and it's scary and it's painful, we need to have the right mind, the right perspective, and we need to look past that to what God's going to accomplish through it. It's like a race, you know, where Paul talked about running the race, having the finish line in view, maintaining that focus. I remember when I was playing baseball in high school, the coach proved to us that when you're trying to steal second base, that if you're looking at the base, you actually run faster than if you're looking at the catcher or the pitcher or anything else. It's because you're looking forward. Everything is forward and going forward. And so that's the same perspective that we need to have. So whatever we're going through, whatever pain and suffering in the ministry, and when we all are in the ministry, we all are ministers of the gospel, when we are in these situations that is not a result of our own sin, that we know that God's put us in, we need to have the end result in view. We need to stay focused on that. We can go through anything because we know it has a holy, wonderful purpose. And we look to Jesus, who's our example. Jesus, again, looked past the cross. And again, he had our salvation in view. That's the only way he endured it. So Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." And again, you know, it's important to understand that not all things are good that happen to us, but all things can work together for the good. And I live in this verse because when bad things happen, this is where I go. Because somehow I don't have to know or understand God's will. I just got to trust it and believe it. I just got to know that he knows where I'm at in the midst of my trial and the situation that he's put me in. I know that it's going to be a benefit to me somehow, some way. And I just have to keep the focus on the end result and not on the pain and suffering that I'm currently going through. So again, having the right perspective is everything. I told you I'd beat this to death. So right perspective is everything. In other words, we have to have a renewed mind. Romans chapter 12, we'll have it up here on the board, says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Notice the transformation of the mind in understanding and believing in that God's will is perfect. So if His will is perfect, and if you're not in sin, and you're in a situation as a result of what He has sovereignly designed for you, if you're in a tough situation, it's God's perfect will. And He has a specific outcome, and sometimes it's not for you. It's for somebody else to receive salvation or to receive encouragement. If you have the proper perspective, knowing that there is no other way you can do it. And remember Jesus in the garden. You know, he prayed three times, Lord, if there, you know, Father, if there be any other way. But there wasn't. There wasn't another way. He had to go to the cross. And he prayed that three times. So, you know, when you know that there's no other way, and you know it's His will, you can get through it. You can go through it. He's with you every step of the way. Job 13:15 says, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. You know, the circumstances around us may just look absolutely bleak. It almost looks like God may be destroying us in the process. But we still have to trust. We still have to have faith and know, even what it said in Romans 8:28, that this is going to work out to our benefit. In Matthew 10:16, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, again, there's that mind thing. We got to be, you know, like a serpent. Now, I don't know how a serpent is wise, but we do need to be wise. The mind has to be sharp. Again, we have to have our mind focused on the end result. And then remember Matthew 5:11-12, where it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, it's like what Jesus said. He said, you know what? You're not any better than our teacher. If the teacher suffered, you're going to suffer as a disciple. So we got to get that perspective in our mind that we will be persecuted. We are going to suffer. And it's okay. It's part of God's will. So how did Paul respond and Silas respond in this situation? You know, again, picture this. It's the deepest, darkest, worst place to be. Hopeless situation. And how did they respond? Let's read verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Isn't that amazing? When you have the proper perspective, you can worship God in the midst of the nastiest of times. They prayed, they sang hymns to God. In other words, they worshiped. Instead of reacting in the flesh, they chose to act by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have that. If you're a Christian and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to respond by the Holy Spirit, not according to your flesh. It's a choice. And if you have that right mind frame, if you have the right perspective, you can do that. You can worship in the midst of a dark, dark time. It's a choice between a pity party and a worship party. What are you going to do? Psalm 73:13-14 says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. In verse 16 and 17 of that same chapter, it says, when I thought how to understand this situation, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Again, having that right mind frame, you can go through anything. Because Paul and Silas were in the right mind and they had the right perspective, they were able to worship God in this lousy situation that they were in. Now, this week, what situation have you found yourself in? Did you throw a pity party or were you worshiping God? It's your choice. Are you walking through the situation with the end in view? Again, we've got to have the end result. We've got to have the king. We've got to be kingdom minded. We've got to think about heavenly things. Noble, good things, as it says in Philippians 4:6-9. Now, the next thing I want you to know is if we go back to verse 25, notice the rest of the verse. And it says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Understand, unbelievers are watching us. Some are hoping that we fail. They want to see us fail. They want to see us in these bad situations and they want to be able to mock us. But there's others out there that are hoping to see us walk by the power of the Spirit so that they too can tap into that power, so that they too can can put their faith in Jesus Christ. Is that how you're, are you understanding that they're watching each one of us? I remember at work all the time. You know, there was one time we were putting in an air conditioning unit. We were framing the foundation for the air conditioning unit, and I had been witnessing to this guy I was working with the whole week, just talking about Christ and, you know, listening to worship music and all this stuff. And I reared back and I went to hit this nail and to release the wood off the frame. And when I did, I glanced off the side of the wall and I hit myself with a 23-ounce hammer right in the shin. Bam! And I turned and I just, praise God, you know, and he laughed. You know, he's like, wow, that's cool. Now, this guy was a total unbeliever, and his name was Mark. And the next day, he's pulling something off. He was a total unbeliever, foul mouth. Every other word was a cuss word. I'd been witnessing to him for a long time, actually. The next day after that incident, he did the same thing, but he was taking off a board up high, and he hit his thumb with the hammer. And he turned to me, and he's like, praise God, you know. And I was like, you're on the right track, brother. You're on the right track. So, I mean, they are watching us. And some of them want to see us fail, but others are hoping that we are walking by the Spirit so they too can know that it's real and that we can, and they too can accept Jesus Christ and start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at verse 26. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. When you have the proper mind or the proper perspective, you can go through anything, and you'll still be able to worship God through it. And you know what? The third point here is when you do it right, it's going to set others free as well. It says that everyone's chains were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas' chains, but everyone there. They were set free. Now, Satan tried to make it a hopeless situation. The darkest part of the night, the darkest part of the prison. They're chained. It's a miserable, stinky situation. And they chose, by the power of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and they worship God, and it set everybody free. That's what you can do, too, when you walk in the Spirit. When suffering comes in your life, when you find yourself, not as a result of your own sin, but because it's the will of God to put you in a situation of suffering, how are you going to respond? It requires the right mind. And if you do it right, and you're able to worship, which according to Scriptures you are able to worship, and you do it right, others are going to see it, and then they're going to be set free by it. Not just Paul and Silas' chains were set, chains were released, they were all set free. This is an incredible picture that when we can worship God from the right perspective, it frees us from the most darkest of times. Our worship helps to even set others free in an environment of no freedom. When times are tough, worship God, and it will set you free, and it will impact others as well. The rest of Acts chapter or verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole household." That's awesome. And we read in verse 33 that the whole family was baptized that night. God knew that there was no other way to save this family. There was only the way, this was the only way that the prison official and his family would put their faith in God was through sending Paul and Silas into prison. And, you know, God didn't give them the plan up front because, like I said earlier, if Paul and Silas knew each step of the way, they probably wouldn't have chose to go that way. That's why God doesn't reveal his perfect will to us so that we can go step by step, whether it's pain and suffering or joy or an excitement in the fun ministry. We must realize that salvation comes through suffering. Our salvation came from the suffering of Jesus Christ. The salvation of others may come through our suffering. So suffering is not a bad thing in and of itself. I mean, when you think about it in the right mind and the right perspective, it may mean salvation for somebody else. I mean, that's why they call us Christians, right? We're like Christ, little Christians, being crucified daily. So I'm concluding, and I think we're way early tonight, and that's okay. Perspective is everything. I'm just going to go back over the points. God will send us into bad situations. Realize it has a purpose. Trust Him through it. The best time to worship is in the middle of a stinky, dark situation. Choose to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that people are watching you. It takes great faith to worship during these times. When you get it right and you're able to worship, not only will it set you free, but it will lead to the freedom and salvation of others. Let's pray. Father God, we just give you